In the fall of 2014, Mexico and the world learned of the abduction and probable torture and murder of a busload of rural students who had hoped to join a protest against the Mexican government's lack of support for schools and colleges. A new film explores the disappearance of these 43 students, as well as the social and political context of this tragedy. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Documentary filmmaker Charlie Min has spent years chronicling the roots and effects of violence in Mexico, and his latest film, simply titled 43, explores the disappearance of 43 rural students training to be teachers. Charlie Min joins us by phone from New York today. Good morning, Charlie.
Hey, Charles.
Good to have you back. I should start off by saying that I've noticed over the years you were certainly drawn to crime subjects, particularly those having to do with the violence in Juarez and around Mexico. Your previous films about the drug war in Juarez, and most recently the arrest of Mexican drug lord Chapo Guzman, who's, I guess, since escaped custody since your film. Can you recount for listeners who may not be completely sure of the facts of this 2014 incident, which I think even in America shocked people and our news media, which doesn't always cover events in Mexico, were trained on these protests and the outcry after this tragedy?
Well, thank goodness for NPR, because I know NPR does cover it, and it's important to do so. But back in September of 2014, the 26th to be precise, 43 students went missing from the school Ayotzinapa, which is an all-male school located in the state of Guerrero in Mexico. And these students are poor. They're studying to become teachers. And this was a student activity where these students went to go hijack buses and try to raise money for an event that occurs every October 2nd to honor the 300 protesters that were shot and killed back on October the 2nd of 1968 in Mexico City. So these normalistas, that's what they're referred to, hijacked five buses, went towards Iguala, Guerrero, and when they got to Iguala, the buses were intercepted. The 43 students were shot at, and they were taken away by the Guerreros Unidos cartel. That's at least what the government, the Mexican government, is telling their citizens. And they haven't been heard from since. So this is a mass kidnapping. A lot of people think that these 43 students are dead. And what's really interesting is when I went to Ayotzinapa and Iguala and talked to the parents believe that their sons are alive.
Hmm. Is that just out of hope?
Well, you know, if they come out and say that I think my sons are dead, then the government will have no motivation to look into the crime further. The government just said that they're going to reopen the investigation, launch a new one, ask for other opinions because of this 500-page report that just came out about a week ago. A panel of experts from a human rights group did a six-month investigation and came out and said that the government has been lying this whole time, saying that the bodies were burned, incinerated, and thrown into a landfill in Cocula, which is 15 minutes from Iguala. So here we go again in Mexico, where we have such deep corruption, we have impunity, we have severe injustice. And I would say, Charles, that this particular incident in Iguala with these students from Ayotzinapa is the second most significant crime in the 21st century, of the 21st century in Mexico. I would say the Hermosillo Sonora Daycare Center fire, where about 50 babies and children were murdered in a fire. And I would say this is number two, the Ayotzinapa incident.
As you mentioned it, this is a story that really folds together the drug violence, the cartels, the narco state, the corruption of government officials, the level of impunity that criminals can operate in Mexico. But as you've been reporting on over the last decade, there's been tens of thousands of people killed in Mexico during this period. What is it about this particular tragedy, these 43 disappeared students, that has really galvanized interest?
It's a great question. I asked that a couple of times when I went down to Mexico. Why this incident as opposed to a lot of the others? 135,000 Mexican people have been slaughtered since 2007, a lot of them innocent, I might add, and that death toll exceeds Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria. This particular one, I think the country said, that's it, we've had it, not one more death, because they were innocent students. I mean, these were not cartel members that were being murdered. These were innocent students, very poor, that were just trying to raise money for a great cause. And to get kidnapped like that and supposedly murdered, I think finally, not just Mexico, but other countries joined in and said, enough is enough with the injustice in Mexico.
So maybe a tipping point was reached.
Yeah, I mean, Enrique Peña Nieto's approval rating has never been lower. The president of Mexico, it's at 34%, and he's been under some heavy-duty pressure because of this tragedy.
Your film, I've only been able to watch 15 minutes of it, but you're still completing it over the next few days, and it will receive a screening we'll talk about soon next week and in the coming weeks here in El Paso. But one of the things that struck me just from the 15 minutes I saw in the interviews you did was that, as you mentioned, these students were extremely poor. They were struggling to become teachers. They were committed to being teachers and trying to raise up a new generation of Mexicans educated. And part of the story, it struck me, was really about the loss of hope, that these particular victims were working so hard to try to change things in small ways, and by their disappearance and we suspect their murder, that was a direct attack on the future of Mexico.
And that's what hit a lot of people. Were, as I said earlier, these were not cartel members, they were not delinquents, they weren't gang members, but they were students that was trying to make Mexico a better place.
Yeah.
So the fact that they were abducted, kidnapped, and supposedly burned and thrown into a landfill, I mean, these are not animals here. I mean, these are human beings, and we deserve answers.
The sad irony here, as you bring out in the film, is they were trying to go to some October protests in Mexico City that happen, I guess, annually to protest a massacre of rural students in 1968.
Correct.
And here they themselves, we suppose, have been massacred and disappeared. And their disappearance and the tactics in which they were disappeared and probably tortured and murdered harkens back to a time in the 60s and 70s when a lot of regimes in Central and South America were using very similar tactics against their citizenry.
Well, you really have to be careful if you're going to be an activist, if you're going to be a political activist. I mean, in Mexico especially, you'll probably run into some heavy resistance and the threat of murder, kidnapping, disappearing. And a lot of political activists have been murdered in Mexico in recent years. I do want to stress that the initial report that all of us got was that these students were ordered by the mayor of Iguala and his wife to be taken away because they were going to disrupt a speech that the mayor's wife was going to deliver. So I just want to say that that's really the only reason that we've gotten so far. And this six-month investigation that was just revealed a week ago, I was a little disappointed by it because they never came out and said what happened. All they said was that the government was lying. And the only real new thing that came out of it was apparently these students on one of the buses, there was heroin on that bus that they hijacked, and that heroin was on its way from Iguala to Chicago, Illinois, which is a massively long trip. And the Guerreros Unidos cartel, I guess, mistaken them for a rival cartel in perhaps intercepting the heroin. So I don't, you know, this story and this investigation, I don't feel will end anytime soon.
And the backdrop to that is, of course, there's great mistrust in Mexico of any official stories relating to these kinds of tragedies.
Absolutely. I mean, I would say the average Mexican person, they do not trust their officials. They protest against their own government at every turn, which is deserved in most cases. It has merit to go off on your own government when the conditions are so poor and there's so much injustice.
Part of the protest that these particular 43 were hoping to take was the lack of support, government support, for the educational system in Mexico. So that's part of the backdrop as well. You mentioned the high cost or possible cost to protesters in Mexico and those who want to speak out, sometimes leading all the way to death. You've engaged a number of Mexican interview subjects. I know there's actor journalists, parents of the disappeared, school administrators. I wonder if you had trouble convincing any of these folks to go on camera.
No. I'll tell you something. I've done five major documentaries now in Mexico, and I can't tell you the courage of all the people that I've interviewed to step forward. I've always said you cannot solve a problem unless you discuss it intelligently. And I have a big heart for Mexico. This situation in that country in the last 7 years, as I said, 135,000 murders. I think about that stat every day, and I just cannot get around it. I cannot wrap my finger around that total of 135,000 dead Mexicans, and most of them innocent. How does one get around that stat?
So the internal unrest and protests that continue around this, it's really taken, though, on top of that, international heat as well to move the president to continue to look into this?
Yeah, and there's also been huge protests in the United States. I mean, let's not kid ourselves here. We're a huge accomplice to the murders in Mexico because of our hunger for illegal drugs. The demand is from the United States is absolutely embarrassing and humiliating. The war on drugs has been, what, a 45 to 50-year failure? We're still sending weapons to Mexico. There's a huge angle in the film of how the Mexican people are so fed up with the U.S. government supplying money to Mexican officials under Plan Morita. And so this film has a heavy look at how the United States is contributing to the Mexico violence rather than taming the violence. I'm sure it will stir a lot of conversation afterwards.
And that conversation begins later this week. I know the very first screening of your finished film will be here at the University of Texas at El Paso, Thursday, September 24th at 1:30 in the Union Cinema. But you have some other screenings rolling out soon after that, is that right?
Well, yeah, we actually have one in just a few days, Charles, on the 22nd of September at EPCC Trans Mountain.
Oh,
they have a beautiful theater in there, and that's at 10 in the morning, and that's free. The UTEP screening that you just mentioned, that's free as well. And then on the 26th, which is a Saturday, or the 27th, the next day, we're going to have a screening at the Montwood Movie 7. Each ticket for that one's $5. And then it opens up for good at Bassett on Friday, October the 9th, which is Columbus Day weekend, before it goes to other cities like Tucson and Phoenix. And it's just going to keep building to other parts of the country.
Well, it's certainly eye-opening and a sad story, but an important one to tell. And I want to thank you, Charlie, for taking the time to call us from New York. And best of luck with the film.
Thanks, Charles.
My guest today has been documentary filmmaker Charlie Min. Min's latest film is simply titled 43, named after the 43 Mexican students who were kidnapped, tortured, and killed in September of 2014. For more on the film 43, log on to 43film.com, and that's just the number 43. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.